And then,
guys, this is so, like, I don't know if this is a red flag, but then, like, I'm not going to talk about it. Before people come at me, before people come at me on the thing, but I don't, to be very honest, I don't even know what we consider as red flag and what we don't think as red flag. But to me, I think something that is going to bother me in the future is a red flag to me, is the topic of personality over looks, or looks over personality.
So what's it for you?
It has to be both.
Definitely.
He has to be both.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
He has to be both. I'm so sorry. Let's come to realize.
Let's even imagine. Out of this world, right?
That's what I've let's come imagine. To realize.
Let's. I'm. Me saying this make people think I'm vain, but it's okay. Let's even imagine I actually agree that okay, I'm going to fight it, that the Holy Spirit is all I need and only personality, and I forget looks. I now give it to children.
My children are going to be ugly.
They don't know.
My kids are going to be ugly. Okay.
Let's move on.
Like, people are not going to care about my kids' personality. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, I need to make sacrifices for my kids.
I don't know,
like,
this.
That's why if my kids ever listen, like, my children ever listen to this, I'm doing all I can for you guys to be tall, have hair, because I'm short, I don't have hair. Like, there's a lot of things that I'm doing.
You're trying to find.
I'm trying to dig it. So they better be grateful.
Like, I remember, I don't know who said this. It might be a friend, maybe it's a pastor, or someone said it online on TikTok, on Instagram or something. But someone said, oh, that you go give birth. Maybe it's a comedy show that you give birth and then it's in the night and you walk into the kitchen and then you see your child, you think it's a ghost.
Oh my God.
I was like,
oh my God.
But okay.
You know, one thing I've always, oh my God, this is probably out of topic, but then, like, I've always wondered that. Do parents see their kids and they're like, my kids are actually not fine?
I don't know, but I've had this conversation with someone before who's actually older,
my
and the person
is actually not giving. Like,
the person said, every child
is beautiful.
So beautiful in their parents' eyes. I'm actually serious. Like, I don't know how possible that is.
For if they have looks, if your child's behavior is very bad, you know that his or her behavior is bad. Like, so you think you would see the exact same way for be like, But then the people say that there's beauty in the eyes of people.
That's it. So you don't know.
To be fair though, like, someone can grow into their looks.
I'm so sorry, but no.
I mean,
personally,
to be fair though, you can see a girl at 12 years old and see her 24.
But that's different.
Yes, that's true.
If I didn't see them at 12 years old, I don't care.
I think the funny thing is, like, when you're a baby, please be cute at least.
Please, people are at least some kids are ugly as a baby.
Well,
for example.
At the end of the day, God's creation is beautiful. Let's go on.
That's true. God created. Right. You know,
everything is
that's actually true. I'm so sorry. Oh my God, I said I wasn't gonna, like, say people are not attractive again because like, you know, God created us in His own image. So, like, if I'm saying somebody's ugly, so that means I'm telling God, like, you know, every kid is beautiful. Like, you guys are so cute.
Every child
attractive.
Is it's just that some, like, your what you define as
beautiful, exactly, the beauty,
like,
standard,
right? There's a beauty standard in your eyes. Everybody has a beauty standard. Yeah,
but I think that I'm so sorry if you're somebody that, well, some people would rather take personality over looks, other people would rather take looks over personality, but I feel like if it's going to be an issue, if you're taking one over each other and then you feel like it's going to be an, I don't think, for example, the way John was like, oh, you're going to grow into their looks. But then, if you think somebody is attractive, you're not going to grow into their personality.
I think.
What do you mean by that?
Like, if I find somebody that's attractive and I'm talking to them, but then the personality
it's just
something that I don't. Me and their personality just won't get together.
Yes, I think.
So why can't I do the exact same thing for looks?
I think personality and looks is. They have to. You have to find both of them in the person.
Right.
You have to be attracted to the person. And to be attracted to his soul. and his physical.
Because
whatever.
If I'm angry at you and I'm looking at you, I'll get more angry. Like I'll get more. Like I'll get more annoyed. Like if the personality is what I choose, and then I'm able to talk. But if I like you, if I think you're attractive, I'll just be listening to you. Okay. Yeah. But, I'm sorry.
No.
But if you're not cute, I'm so sorry.
Let me paint this picture. That we the same thing you just said right now. I'm so imagine sorry. The person is fine. Personality is whack.
Like,
and then you're looking at his fine face and you start to say something and like, can you just shut up?
but I cannot lie. I think that, well, to me, like, if somebody's personality is like rubbish, like, I don't think there's any
form of connection.
There can't be any form of connection.
The fact that someone's personality can actually increase or decrease their appearance, by the way.
So I don't know why I just heard this. Someone just said this thing that, oh, some people are so fine, but the moment they open their mouth and say something, they're like,
agree.
I don't know where I heard this thing. I just heard this like thing for yesterday.
The moment they open
their mouth, you're like, yeah, fine. You're not fine.
I didn't even know. Fine.
Not at all.
I agree.
So yeah.
That I agree with. And when people are like, oh, they're so, oh my God, sorry. But there are lots of men, they use women as examples. I'm going to switch it to men. There are lots of men that they're so cute, they're beautiful, but then like when the things that they do or the things that they think about, it's just like,
I think mindset is so underrated. Emotional intelligence is so underrated,
right,
in terms to not just relationship, everything that we do. Like if you're going to business with someone, like the person has to be, apart from, okay, he knows what he's doing, or you're employing someone, is there emotional intelligence? It's like, how does he even think? Because it's funny, some people will see this mic and they want to just like put their mouth right on it and be talking from there. Like, it's important how you actually think and how you perceive things. It's very important. It's
Important. That's why you have to date somebody that you're capable in, both of you, emotionally, physically, sexual, everything.
And that's why there's talking stage.
But you can't talk about everything in talking stage. And then now in a dating culture,
what are you
where
talking
like people
about
think that talking stage should be like a month and that's it. And then that one thing one thing that don't make sense to me is how you guys don't accept talking stage if you're talking to somebody for like 3 months, it's a lot of time. But then you guys can be in situationships for 2 years.
Seven.
Like that.
You know why I said 7 years? You know why I said 7 years? Because I'll tell you why. You started a situationship. You were 2 years. Let's say 1.5 years. Then you went to date.
Did somebody else?
Then you went to date.
And then you
brother
go
John,
back.
And then you went back to him. And then you went to date brother Jonathan. And then you went back to him. 7 years. 7 years as complete.
For real.
So yeah, like, it happens.
But then I feel like, to be very honest, that's what I was like, to you, like whatever works for you, that's what you should do. If talking to somebody for 3 months is what's going to make you know the person to want to be in a relationship with, that is fine. But then some men, they know that this is not going to lead anywhere, but they're still talking. I feel like that's when you know that, okay, this person is not serious. Let me take all my things and be going. But if you know that when you guys talk about the fact that, oh, like, okay, we need to know each other. We need to talk for 5 months, 6 months. If both of you are in agreement, okay, why not? But then I feel like that's why, like, social media, oh my God, man. Social media is such a...
I think we need to... we all have to have our own standards for relationships.
Right.
Don't use someone else's standards for relationships. And then going back to what you just said, you have to make sure that it is you that is in control of the relationship, not anybody else. Both of you sit down. When you're talking, sit down. Okay, if you're someone that thinks, oh, talking, dating for 10 years is long, or someone that thinks that talking for 1 year is long, the first or second or third date or third time you're meeting each other, when you're talking, or second time, chip in the question, so how long do you intend to date for?
Right.
If you're in a rush, you want to marry next tomorrow. Chip it in right now.
Answer
because
them.
In his mind...
Right.
Man's not even ready. He's just like, well, let's see what's happening here.
Right.
Communication.
Like,
don't expect me to know things you didn't say out of your mouth.
Right.
you're an adult. Speak. Open your mouth and say what you want to say.
But then I feel like there's a difference between not knowing and then being like oblivious about it. Like, I'm so sorry. But like, if you know, and then I'm having to tell you multiple times, well, I think this is just based on me right now. Because like, I think that's what most men are.
So, the whole issue of being oblivious and not knowing at all, even if he's oblivious, you still owe him to tell him
at that's least what I'm once. Saying.
Now, if anything, I tell you once, anything that is major, if you tell a man, a grown-up, both a man and a woman, a grown-up, I'm not saying those that are 16, that are 18, a grown-up who has his own mindset to think, and you tell him first, second time, third time, fourth, even third time, and you don't see any sign of changes, and it's an ish for you, it's a red flag for you, you might want to talk to him in an open conversation and tell him you're walking out if he doesn't change.
Right.
Because if you don't, you're going to tell him till the 12th time, he won't do anything. Nothing. You end up getting married, and then he's going to ask you one day, didn't you see me before we got married?
Right. You see, this is why I'm not going to talk about them, because every time I talk about marriage, it's just, it scares me so much, because I feel like marriage is so, please.
So what? It's not. Marriage is a real.
It's a very.
Let me put this out there. This is one thing that, this is one of my own rules I go with. If the institution of marriage was not established by God, and I can't find any promise, and I couldn't find any promise in the Bible that God will help in my marriage, I would be as single.
That's true.
As a Pringle. Because the whole, me looking at the person I love, and she does some things, it actually takes the Holy Spirit, whether you really think you don't have it or you don't have him, the Holy Spirit, to help you to take your eyes off, because you feel so irritated sometimes. And it's not because they actually meant to actually do something. In that moment, you're just, you yourself, you just want, you just feel somehow.
Right.
I think we underrate the fact that we are beings that, like, we all have things that, sometimes I feel irritated over things that, and I ask myself, like, 1 minute later, why am I irritated?
I agree. That's so me. Like, I'm angry. I don't even know why I'm hurt. Like, somebody asked me, why are you angry? I don't know. I can't.
Mine is not even being angry. I'm just quiet. And my face is telling you, you probably think I'm tired or hungry, but I'm just in that mood. I'm probably just thinking of 1 billion things that I'm thinking about. And yeah, it's just hard. So yeah, marriage is a big thing. And it's only when two people agree to work together.
Right.
And taking out the fact that we actually try to go into relationships when we're not whole, trying to expect something from somebody else that we are not yet.
Right. Well, that leads me to my third question. We talked about this before. Me, Queen John, and Jojo. Money. Oh, I'm gonna talk about this again. But so the question is, do you think that the money that you earn together as a married couple should go into a joint account or separate account?
Can I ask you a question though?
Yes.
What's your take on it?
What's my take on it?
Yeah.
Okay. What I think is, personally, I don't think that if I'm working and you're working and then both payroll goes into one account, I don't think so. Personally, I cannot do it. People that do it, that's great. If it works for them, then that's great. But I don't think it can work for me.
Okay, can I ask you another question? So let's say you get married tomorrow.
Right.
Right. What? How do you plan the expenses of the family?
Exactly.
Do you think he should take all the expenses, or do you think you should take, okay, because I know some families, how they split it, the man takes all the bills of the house, the woman does all the shopping, both groceries and everything. Like, how do you envision it to happen?
Me, in my own household.
In your own, yeah.
Right? For example, if I was to get married tomorrow now, I think, that's why me and my partner is going to talk about what we're going to talk. Like, for example, if I'm going to do rent, and then I'm going to be doing the shopping, we're going to know how much that costs.
Okay.
Right? And then if the person, if we talk about, okay, you're going to be doing rent, I'm going to be doing the shopping. So I think that's where the joint account comes in, where we put in from our separate accounts, we put in a certain amount to this account that we have.
Okay.
And then say that, okay, when you put in your 500, we know that when they take out the rent, it's going to be from that
account.
But I don't think that
you should have joint account.
You should have like for like your payroll to come in. Like,
so personally, I actually haven't thought about it before. But what I think is this: regardless of any situation, relationship,
right,
it should be don't use someone's speed to judge. You sit down with your partner. Do you think it's okay?
Right.
Have a joint discussion over it. If you want it and he doesn't want it, ask him why. Go over it together.
What's his reason? Doesn't make sense.
Now I'll give you an idea. Before I answer that question, I'll give you a scenario. Let's imagine you're making 5K a month. And my guy is making 25K a month. Would you still want to put a joint together? Still no?
It's a question I'm actually asking. I can't really remember the exact amount that we use as an example. And then, okay.
1,100,000. Okay, so what are you saying?
Okay, they talked about the fact that if a guy is earning 100K, mm-hmm, and then the wife is earning 1,000,000.
Yes.
That, what did you guys say again? That it was okay?
I remember what we said, and I actually retract my statement. I said, I was going to the fact that the woman could input like 40% of her income, and the guy puts in like 40% of his income. But that's 40K. That's 40K and
400K.
So I do retract it because that didn't make sense. When I thought about it, it didn't make sense. But it's okay.
So
what do you think?
To me, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to put, if I'm making 1 million and my husband is making $100,000, mm-hmm, I'm not putting 40% of my 1 million, and then he's also putting 40%.
So can I ask a question now? Before you continue, because this is what I want you to see. You are not dating. You are married. You realize that if you go by him taking the way you are thinking it right now, you are going to be living beyond the lifestyle you would love to live as making $1 million. Because he can't afford the rent,
right,
the mortgage of what you want to live in, making $1 million.
But then, So if I'm earning $1 million, right, and then he's earning
$100K,
I don't know math. I'm so sorry, but let's say 40% of his income, right, it goes into like that's the rent, and then he has 60, and then the only thing that I'm supposed to do is, if we talk about it, and then the only thing that he says, oh, just buy the groceries. But then I know that the 100K that he's earning cannot do the entire
rent, the bills.
So what do I do? Like, am I supposed to add more? Like, if we talked about, so I'm supposed to, the fact that I earn more money, I'm supposed to.
So I want to ask you another question. So we make, and it's because you're not there yet. Also because of your perspective right now. Trust me, by the time you reach a certain age, your mindset about it to change a little bit more. Doesn't mean you still see the way I'm seeing it, but it will change a little bit more. But I want to say something. You get married, he's making 100K, you're making 1 million. It's yearly. So I'm going to do some quick maths, easy as possible for you to understand. So you guys take out a nice building. You don't want to take anything small because you're making $1 million. All your friends, I live in houses that rent 20K, 15K or mortgage, mm-hmm, monthly. He's making 100K yearly. He's not even making that amount monthly.
But is it my fault that he's not making that amount?
Now, that's where it goes back to.
But is it my fault though?
Now, there are two things you need to put in perspective. This is the first thing. Let's imagine before you started making $1 million, he was making 80K. And he probably set up your business that is printing $1 million monthly now, yearly now. Or he sent you to the school.
Context. That's a different context.
I'm going to paint it the second way for you now. So the only difference there is you're sacrificing because you see that you should sacrifice now. Or you're sacrificing because you love him genuinely.
Hmm.
The second will be, you just met him out of the blues. He's making 100K. I'm making $1 million. And I'm like, I don't owe this man anything.
But we're talking about marriage, though.
Now, that's the point. Because you all, because at the end of the day, in marriage, even if you guys started dating when you were already making $1 million and he was making 100K, before you marry,
that's true.
You should talk about
it first. Ah,
my brother, you're making 100K. I'm making my tights. You don't get it.
That's crazy.
You see? Because that's, is you're paying your tights.
I can pay his salary.
I
can pay him like 10 times. You don't have to go to work. I give you the money. But then that's going to bother me so much.
And I'm going to say something. Let's imagine my own girlfriend, my wife, is making $1 million. I'm making 100K. I'm going to look her in the eyes and be like, okay, so what do you want us to do? Do you want me to come and help you in the office? Because there's no point. I mean, if it's a business, do you want me to be the person in charge of the logistics? I should just be thinking for you. Or what do you want me to... Because at the end of the day, if it's marriage, this is not dating, this is marriage. Right. We have to help each other. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I'm a career man. I'm making 100K. What? I should just close the career and face the mission God asked for me. And face the, because at the end of the day, your main mission in life is what? Your family?
Right.
What God put you in charge of? And then God. And then the money you want to make. She's already making all the money you guys need to make. What else do you want?
Okay, but then you remember in the first episode when you were like, oh, if you're earning $1,000, you should date somebody $1,000. Does that still apply?
Now it applies in the cases.
Okay, does that apply in like if you get married?
Now I'm gonna go back. This is if I'm making $1,000, I can still talking stage to someone who's making $5,000. But in our talking stage, before I ever ask her to be my girlfriend with roses. Or if I ask her with my mouth alone, I should have talked and let her know that I am making $1,000 before taxes.
And if that changes...
before taxes. So I'm taking home like $850. You are taking home $4,500. What's your mindset behind? What do you think about it? If she tells you, oh, I can't date someone, pack your bag.
And leave.
And go. Run.
Okay.
Because it's not going to work out. But if she tells you, oh, I don't mind, I'd actually, because the funniest thing is this, talking to the, I don't know who said this, but most of the actual wealthy women don't want to date men in their league.
That's not, okay.
You're not
but
there yet.
If you're I'm not wealthy, there yet. I'm so sorry, I'm dating a man that is as wealthy as me.
No, you know why?
If I have...
you know why? Should I explain why to you?
Yeah.
First off, you have all, see, there's at that stage, everything you want, you can
you already have
afford it.
You
already have it. There's nothing you but want in not his money. What you want at that time is not a man that has money and doesn't have time for you. You want a man who has time for you and you don't care about his money. Because at that time, you already work into the realization that money is just paper.
Okay.
And the fact that we go about saying, it's money that is going to make me love him. There's no relationship without money. Trust me, money is a lot. Is a lot. The statistics says the main reason for divorce in the US is money. So money is a big deal, but it's currency.
So that's why I'm saying that. So if you know that, the way you said that, if you're earning $1,000 and then you do somebody that's going, so when they get a new job. Right, so they're supposed to talk about what if they don't talk about it before they married each other, and then all of a sudden one person's earning more than each other. But then, which is so different when we talk about it, it's so different. Like, if it was the guy that was earning $1 million,
it's fine,
and then the woman is earning 1,000, there wouldn't be an issue with it
because the man will pay all the bills,
of course.
He will never raise an eyebrow. Well, he might in some scenarios, depending on the man, he'll raise an eyebrow, like, I'm the one doing everything, you shouldn't go to work. He might say all those things. But the woman will mean it, and she will not interpret as anything. But the moment the table is turned, it's different.
I feel uncomfortable in the first situation more than I would in the second.
Really?
I mean, it depends, because in the first situation, the woman is the person at a disadvantage, right?
Right.
So it's like, I would feel uncomfortable in that position. In the other way around,
I don't care. Exactly. I wouldn't care.
Because he's making more than
I wouldn't
you?
Care. Yeah.
Because like, what's funny is, because
then you have more money to do everything for us.
A man doesn't, him making $1 million, you making 100K, he's going to look for how to make 1.1, pay you that 100K so you don't have to even work.
Exactly. But then why doesn't that apply to women?
Because not every man is secure enough. Not every man is secure enough, one. And not every woman is generous enough to give you that money and then not look at you someday and tell you, yo, you're not paying anything. Get out of my house. This is my house. This is my kids. This is my everything. Get out.
I do agree. I think, and the way I'm looking at it is just me being selfish. Like, I think, for example, the fact that I know how, like, how hard that I'm working in school right now, or like how hard I'm working to get things that I feel like it would make me so comfortable. And then, like, if I'm now, like, then if I go marry somebody that's earning 1,000, I'm like, but then I have to learn to accept that if that 100,000 job is what makes them happy. Like, I know. I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, if that's what makes him happy, like, I can't, like, if that's what they're paying him and then that's what makes him happy, I can't do anything about it.
With the current economy right now, it's not even about what makes him happy. It's what he could find.
Right. I do agree.
I'm talking to people and they're still saying, oh, I've been trying to find a job for, like, a few months now.
5 months. I do agree. I guess that's where I'm coming from. Like,
and I want to actually
add, and then that, I guess that people, not everybody is like me. So,
funny enough, I feel like you're just talking out of perspective.
You think so?
You're just saying it like that. Regardless, that's what I feel.
Because
because you know the funny thing. You until you get to that place,
people like, until you start making, get there, then you know.
You know why?
But
you know when people say things like, "Oh, money doesn't bring happiness." Rich people, when rich people say things like, "Money doesn't bring happiness," I'm earning $1 million, and now I realize that money is just whatever. Now, it's two things. To be honest with you, money doesn't bring happiness, yes. But can it bring comfort?
Yes.
Which is as close to happiness as can be. Yes. It doesn't mean it brings happiness. But this is the other thing there it is. When you get to that place, you realize that I've been running my life for this $1 million. And look at it on the table. Okay, what's next?
I don't think that was not going to be me in Jesus' name.
You know why?
If I work for $1 million and I see $1 million in front of me and I cannot use it,
it's not about you cannot use it. It's the point that you already get the $1 million. Everything.
And you think that there's no more goals to get to.
It's not more goals. It's not about. So at the end of the day, you get all the goals. You're the richest man in the world. Richest woman in the world. You've bought everything, designer, every car. You've been to every country. You've been on every first class. You've done everything. Everything that you actually thought is the pinnacle of life. You've done all of it.
Right.
Okay, what's next? That's the whole question.
What's next? Keep the money and give it to my kids.
You have the
make
money.
Create trust fund for my kids. Like,
this is what you need to understand. Once you get, the hardest part is making the first million. After that, it comes easy. I've not made it, but I'm going to make it in a few years. Very few years.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you make it, call me.
Definitely, I'll give you a call. But this is the whole thing. Once you make the money, you actually realize that you get what you want. You realize that it's just...
That's why a lot of top businessmen, they get all this money. That's why you have a lot of ex-wives, a lot of wives, because they never... Because money will get you something, but you'll always be missing something in your life.
I hope that's not me. I'm still gonna keep saying that. I hope that's not me. We're to the point where, like,
if you don't want it to be you, you'd have to actually have to actively do something.
I know.
To not make it happen.
Right.
Let me say this right. It's like you get to a certain point. I'll say this. Let me even say this, like, you know, kind of a woman's perspective a little bit here. But like you get to a point, you get $1 million to do all this. Won't you be tired of, you know, taking care of your kids, going to work, doing all this? Once you I don't want to say that point thing, but like, once you want someone to share that burden with, and someone that will help you in life.
But then that's what you're supposed to do for your partner anyways. But
someone that has $1 million but doesn't care. Well, I'm thinking about a person, like, being single, not a person being in a marriage.
So if you, like, are you talking about the fact that are we talking about it just in general or because of the money that they make? Like, if in general that I need somebody that's going to take care of me. And then also, why am I having kids if I'm not married to them, Abby?
Because,
fair.
But regardless. And I'm gonna be...
Like,
She said adopt.
Adopt? Well, even if I adopt, like, a kid, I would still, if okay, if I do need somebody to, but then that would be my husband, no? Or
it would be. Exactly right. Exactly.
You know, the richer you get, the older you get, and more financially stable you get as a woman, the more you begin to believe you don't want a man. And it's vice versa for women, for men. The moment a man sees money and he's getting older, he's like, ah, them can get married.
That's so cute, though. Wow. That's crazy. So, yeah. Wow, that's so cute. The fact that you think that, oh, you have $1 million and think that, oh, let me go get married. For example,
not
if
$1 million, not like $1 million.
Okay, but money. But
like financial, there's a difference between
if you're financially like secure
and having $1 million.
Because for example, like if I'm financially like secure and I have a lot of money, my thought is not to get married.
What's your thoughts?
Because you're a woman,
that's it. As a man, he's like, let me settle down, let me make a family. Because yep. I'm right for it right now.
Yeah, a man thinks that as soon as I get to that pinnacle, I have everything I need to secure to provide for my family.
Yes. The only thing he's thinking about is his family at that moment. Like,
oh my shit. Difference.
Yeah, I know, wow. Right?
What a pity. Because
from childhood we're raised and we're taught how to
provide and protect.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about socialization.
Like, yeah, I'm booking like 5 countries of people are not seeing me free. Like there's a TikTok trend. If I have money, there would be signs. That was my sign. You just will see me in Canada, you will see me nowhere to be found. Like, but the way men think, go and get married, please. Oh my god. I haven't done the questions for part 2. At this point, I might as well just talk. Because the questions I have. Oh my god.
Are we supposed to start at
5? We have 10 minutes left till
5. And nobody's even
doing it. Like the last one that you have.
Yeah.
Oh my god. This is, oh my god. All the questions that I was supposed to ask.
We have talk.
You can be in like a part 2. Of,
oh my god.
You can do 4
Alrighty.
Okay. So,
oh my god. Okay, now I don't know what question to ask.
We can do 2 episodes in 1 month.
And then like later. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll answer them as fast as possible, as short as possible.
No, I don't think so. The ones I have, they actually require talking. But anyway, okay. We're just going to close.
Okay.
So what advice would you give to singles who are waiting for godly partners? Before you answer that, what do you think we're supposed to look for when choosing partners, like potential, like future partners?
I'll answer this question as fast as possible because I have my answer. The first question I'm going to answer first is, while you're waiting for a godly partner, become...
that partner you want.
And don't this is not a cliche of I'm going to do it. No, actually do it. Put in the work. Sit down, think, read your Bible, renew your mind, go out, exercise, eat good food, learn to talk right, learn to control your anger. Learn to control your emotions. Don't always use emotions as blackmail over the man.
It's so funny. My answer to the question was develop yourself spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and then just trusting God's timing. I think that's one thing that I've learned. And then to realize that as you are waiting for your partner, please enjoy your single years. Those are very important. Like the time where you're single is those are the years that you can really figure out you want and who you are as a person. Like,
date yourself.
Date yourself. Like, take yourself on a date. So when you're looking for somebody or when you're talking to somebody, it's easier because you know that, okay, if I'm going to talk to, like, if I know that if somebody doesn't message me 25 times in a day, I wouldn't, so it makes it easier. So if the person you're talking to doesn't message you, you know that, okay, this is not what I want. Bye-bye. But then there's no reason why you should be expecting your partner to be texting you 25 times in a day. But I'm just using it as an example. So I feel like knowing yourself would make it easier for you to find a partner.
I think also I'll add, if you think you had a bad upbringing, go to therapy.
Therapy. Work on your trauma. How can I forget?
Work on yourself. Like, actually take initiative and, like, do something for yourself. Yeah.
I agree. I think I was talking to my mom about this yesterday, and I was like, I think it's so great that this generation is more, like, they're self-aware. Like, people, I think back, I don't know if it's true, but then that's what I think.
Let's leave that conversation for another day, trust me.
Because
that's a big conversation.
I think that.
We are not.
You think so?
We are not. I think we are delusional, one. Secondly, we just poke nose in people's business. We judge people without actually judging ourselves. John is this, but you yourself, you're not even looking at yourself. So yeah,
he's even here. But what I mean, okay. Oh my god,
you said we are self-aware.
Okay, what I mean by self-aware is that, okay, well, personally, okay, maybe not use this generation. Let me just use it myself.
Say personally, yes.
Okay, I'll just say personally. I think that just like when we talked about therapy, I feel like I've gotten to a stage where like. I'm so, like, if I know that something is not right, that's after I read my Bible, of course, that's like my number one escape. Like, I just call my therapist and be like, okay, this is what's going on. But I feel like people, and then I think that therapy has been, like, for a long time, therapy has been given a bad, there's this word I want to use. No. No, it's like this. I'm trying to use a TikTok word. Oh my god. Anyways, I can't remember. But like, I feel like therapy has been given such a bad like name that people feel like, oh my god, you can't do therapy. Like, please, I feel like people need therapy.
Everybody
needs therapy. I'm so like, you might think that you don't need therapy, but then when you go to, I think personally, before I started therapy, I just think that, you know, like, I know we need to wrap up, right? But anyways, I just think that, like, therapy shouldn't be a thing. Like, why am I going to go tell somebody that this is what I'm going through? But then when I started, I was like, the question that we'll be talking about, like, never in a million years would I think that I would talk about this. And then I feel like that's just a way to grow. So, like, if those are things that ask for help. Like, and also, it also comes to, like, why you're waiting for a partner. If there's things that you're unclear about, ask people. But then I feel like that's why it comes to having a community where you feel comfortable asking, or where you have people that you can trust.
I think it's not just about asking. It's about asking the right people. Don't ask someone who couldn't. Don't ask someone. My best example is, don't ask someone who is making $1,000 how to spend $5,000. Don't ask the wrong people. Ask the right people that. Right question.
But then how do you know the right people though? Like,
I thought you said we're self-aware. Our generation is self-aware. This is common sense. Let's think. Like you have relationship issue. Look for someone who you think.
Ask someone that's in a relationship. Like, for example, if I'm in a relationship, right? And then if I need an advice, right? My thought is not, I'm not going to go meet pastor and be like, pastor might have the best idea, like the best advice for me. But then I would be too scared. But then I feel like we need people that are like less in, you get what I mean? That we can talk to.
I think it goes back to having a mentor in every area of your life. In your relationship, look for not someone, okay, you have a relationship coach, yeah? But he's single. He's never dated anybody. He's never married.
That reminds me.
Now, at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that because he's a relationship coach, his relationship should be perfect.
Right.
But look for a relationship coach who puts out his relationship. I don't mean put out every detail of his relationship, but who makes sure he's not portraying his relationship as perfect.
Perfect.
He speaks about his mistakes and how they actually fix them.
Right. Anyways, so that's gonna be the end of the episode. Thank you guys for listening. This is probably a lot of yapping, but but thank you guys for listening, and then bye.